So yesterday when we left off at the bottom of Yudam with Bed, we were discussing what the Bameti Yilav teaches us. So originally we thought that it would be that the Nevela belongs to the Mizak, and he would have to deal with it. The Gemara says that's pretty obvious, because since the Mazik can pay with Shove Kesef, he can pay with anything that has equivalent of monetary value, then why should he be not able to be paying with the Nevela? And even if you say it belongs to the Mazik, he can just hand it back to the Nizak as payment for his Nezik that he had created. So the Gemara says, that the Hameti Elo teaches us that who's responsible for the diminution in value between the time the Nezik was done and the time that the Tamodo Badin, the time that they end up in Basin. And that's what it comes to teach you, Hameti Elo, that is the Nizak's problem. That value degradation is not the obligation or the responsibility of the Mazik, but rather the responsibility of the Nizak. So Gemara says, the last line on Yom Rebet, Lema Pchatn Beila Tanayi. Let us say that Pchatn Beila is actually a Machlokas Tanayim, the Tanya. Im Tarofi Tarefi Boa, Yavi Edim Shinitrafa Be'unates Upatur. What does the Pasuk mean? The Tanya Kama says that if he brings Edim, if this Shomer goes ahead and brings Edim to show that it was done by Onet, and he'd be Patur. The Shomer Sachar is Patur for Onsin, and therefore if he has evidence that it was done by Onet, then he is Patur. So that's the meaning of the word VOA. Abashalomer Yavi Aduda. Alright, the Basin. Yavi Aduda the Basin. Now there are numerous Girsaot here. The Girsa that we have that follows Rashi's Girsa, which is Yavi Aduda, Rashi means, says it is Nevela, that he should bring the Nevela to Basin in order to assess it, to assess what its value is. And the word aduda is obviously a play on the word aid here. And the comes from the word that we're going to have in this week's parsha, Baboker Yochal Ad. Right, that in the morning they will eat ad is the shlach, right, the biza or the spoils of the war. So here it's also talking about the spoils of the nezek, which would be the nivela. Right, so now Tosus brings two other possibilities of the girsos. He says either Yavi Arura the based in. Right, so Arura is because it died without any bracha, and it was died through the damage done to it. Another possibility is a Adura. Right, that is, it's a Chavihem of Adura. So Tosus brings other girsos. They're all focused on this idea that he has to bring the Nevela to based in, or there's something to do with the Nevela. So far we don't know what their machlokas is. So now the Gemara says, what? My love, this is the machlokas between them. The Marta of Pchad Nevela de Nizak. Right, that the Pchad Nevela is the responsibility of the one who was damaged. Habi, the Marta of the Mazik Habi. And one says that it belongs to the Mazik, or the problem, or the responsibility of the Mazik. So now, why is this? I mean, what if they didn't say anything about Pchad Nevela? What's going on here? So the Rashi explains over here that if you have to bring it to Basin to assess what the value of the Nevela is, right, then who is that for? Why does it matter what the value of the Nevela is right now? So if he says just to me that he has to bring it to Basin to assess the value of the Nevela, that they have to check what the value currently is of the Nevela, then if you're talking about the Mazik, right, the one who did damage, again, it should be irrelevant. Why should it be irrelevant? Because the Mazik can pay with Shove Kesef. He can pay with whatever he chooses. I mean, if he doesn't have them, depending on what we saw before, the Machlokas and the Morai, but assuming maybe that he doesn't have money or doesn't have Metav, or even according to others, if he did have it, he's allowed to pay with Shove Kesef, then of course the Nevela, what it's worth now, he can use as being Shove Kesef. That an assessment in basis of what it's worth now versus what it was worth at Misa, why is that relevant? That'll be relevant for whom? That'll be relevant for the Nizak, right? Because now the degradation in value that took place here, whose responsibility is that? Well, if you say it's the responsibility of the Nizak, then the differential in that value is important. So if you look in Rashi, I'll just show you in Rashi, my love, Bahakam Mithlagay, the Rashi, it's in the narrow lines in the Rashi. It's four lines down in that Rashi. Four lines down, narrow lines in Rashi. Eli Achamar. Im Nitrafa Bipshia, Shebar Tashlamim. Right, if it was damaged, or because he was a shomer, it was done to pshia. It was his negligence that caused it to be killed. So now he is obligated to pay. Yavi aduda biosif mi beitol adamim shishaver b'shat mita. Then he has to come and add to the value that it was worth at the time of its death. Di mishum damim dehashto. Because if you're coming to assess what it's worth now, currently, lo istrich. Right, that we don't need. The Hashba Yidle Nevela Achronaita, if he has a Nevela sitting in his house, Yahivle Kosh Kena, right? Certainly that he can pay for it. So the assessment of value can't be what the present value of the item is. It must be what? The past value of the Nevela. Present value of the Nevela, that's a marketplace issue. That's the question of what is the market pricing for such an item, and he's allowed to pay with it. It's not a question. So it must be that we're trying to assess what the value of the item was when it was killed, right? Why are we trying to assess, right, the value of what it was worth when it was killed? Because that's the obligation of the Nizak, right? And therefore, by definition, the Tanakama, who's arguing on that, will say that the Pchat Nevela is the Mazik's problem. Again, he can't bring a drasha because there is no drasha. It's not an issue of drasha. It's just an issue that he can pay. If Mazik wants to pay with the Nevela, he can pay with anything he wants. If he's paying with it, it's today's value. So of course the Pchat Nevela is his problem because, right, he's paying with something that is equivalent to money, and then equivalent to money means what it's worth today. So Gemara rejects this and says, well, the Kuliyama the Nizak. Pchat Nevela is the problem of the Nizak. Right, that value, degradation, or diminution from the time of death until Hamada Bedin, is the problem of the Nizak, one who was damaged. The argument is about who is responsible to get the Nevela out of the boar. The answer is that the Nevela falls into a boar. Who's responsible to get the crane or get the lift, right, to get it out of the boar onto the side of the boar? So what's the Vatanya, and we have a Brisa that supports this understanding, a Feimimim, Menayin Shal Bala Boar, Lalot Shor Mi Boro. How do we know that the obligation of the Bala Boar, I mean the Mazik, to take the Nevela out of his boar? Tamalomer, Kesav Yashiv Lavalav, Vehameis. Right, so the Gemara here, the drush is that it parses the pasuk differently. Right? I mean, it says, Kesav Yashiv Lavalav, comma, right, Vehameis Yalom. Instead of putting the comma before Vehameis, right, the way the drush works is to put the comma after Vehameis. It says, Kashiv Yashiv Lavalav, Vehameis. You have to pay the money, plus he gets to get the maid out. I mean, he has to get the Nevela out of the boar and give it back to the owner. Samarle Abai Lerovo, Hi, Tarach Nevela, hey, hey, dummy. Wait, explain to me exactly what this Tarach Nevela is. Right, Elaim, if you say, Dibibera Shav Yezuzah, that inside the board is worth a zuz. Va'agudo, on the side of the board, meaning that once you bring it up on top, Shav Yarba, right, then it's worth four on top. So, Titarach, but then Afshay Katarach, right, meaning that if the guy brings it out, it's in his best interest to get it out of the board. Why? Because if he leaves it in the board, he's only going to get credited one zuz. If he gets it out of the boar, he's going to get credited for zuz. So as long as, assuming that it's the amount or the cost of moving the nevela from the bottom of the boar to the top of the boar is less than three zuz, then he's marvia, right? He benefits from the fact that it's outside the boar, so of course he's going to bring it out. Right? Says, well, I'm going to lay those three thoughts, the bebeir shav yezuzah, v'agudanami shav yezuzah. Says, no, that inside the boar is worth a zuz, and outside the boar is worth a zuz. So then, of course, the Bala boar has no interest in lifting it up, because it's going to cost some money to get it out of the boar, and yet he's not going to benefit in any way, because it's worth the same inside and outside. So the Gemara, he asks the question, right, this question, discussion between Abai Robo, right, Abai is back to him, Umi'i kakahai gavno, right, asking here, can you have such a, is that a plausible situation where something can be worth the same amount of money despite the fact that there is expenditure between the two of them? I mean, how could it possibly be that if it's in the boar, it's worth the same amount as on top of the boar, yet there's an expenditure to get it from inside the boar to on top of the boar? That doesn't make so much sense. It's not a logical assumption. Where it says, in, right? So people say, Keshura b'masa b'zuza, Keshura b'dabra b'zuza. You want your, I don't know, wood, you want your board, right, in the city, pay a zuz. You want your board in the dabra, out in the fields, pay a zuz. Now, I'm assuming out in the fields means that's where it's found, because that's where the trees are, or they can somehow, it's easier to get the wood in the fields. Yet nevertheless, even though they bring it into the city, they don't charge any more. I mean, it's basically today we know as free shipping, right? So it's free shipping, so that's already, it's included in the price. Doesn't matter if you come pick it up at the store, doesn't matter if we bring it into the city for you, still worth a zuz. So he says, you do have such a concept, that despite that the fact that there has to be some effort expended to get the item to where it belongs, nevertheless, we don't charge more money for that expenditure. It's considered to be a part of the service, right, or a part of parcel in the price. So you do have such a concept that it will be equal in value no matter where it's found. Now we have right, so this Gemara here starts as Amar Shmuel, which is Rashi's Girsa. Because this Rashi is here, so Rashi says that this was a minhag dayanimu, And Shmuel had such a minhag da'anim, because Shmuel does not quote it as a mesorah in any way. So Shmuel just makes a statement, right? And this statement, he actually claims it's a minhag da'anim. Tosfos brings down and says that in the Shiltos, the gear says, Amr Shmuel, Amr li Abba. Right, Shmuel says, Amr li Abba is Rav, right? So Rav said to me. So rather than being a minhag da'anim, there's some sort of mesorah that Shmuel is quoting. Ein shamin lo leganav velo legazan elo nizakin. Right, that when we come to shamin, assessing the value of the item at the time that the damage was done, or the time the exilic neighbor was done, right, we only do by nezek, meaning that the pchat of the nevela is the problem of the nizak. But when it comes to a gnanav and a gazlan, we don't do that. We don't give them that benefit. Why is that? Vani omer ap l'shoel. That the same applies to shoel. Obviously, this is a dangling item because we're not sure what that modifies. After shoel means a shoel is like a ganav and a gazan, or after shoel means that it's also like a nizakin. Right? It's unclear which that goes on. Rav modeli, and Rav agrees to me. Right? So now, as opposed to right, that's the difference here of where Abba, where Rav is found. This is according to the Girsa of Rashi. There Shmuel made a statement, and then he says Rav agrees to me. Right? As opposed to the Shiltos, which seems to have Abba, Amar li Abba, which is that Rav is found in the beginning statement, or the part of the original statement here. So now, what's the difference, right, between a Ganav and a Gazlan, right, and the Nizakin, right? Why should there be any deal different? So, Tosu says over here, V'afakav d'kayim melan yashiv, there are both sheva kesef ki kesef, even though we know that when it comes to repayment of items, right, if you can give something that has monetary equivalent, that's the same as repaying the item. So ganav gazlan shiny. That a ganav gazlan are different than any other nezek or problem that's caused here. Why? Mishub d'thib asher gazal. That he has to return the item asher gazal, that he stole, to ancient gazal. Right, so when it comes to back to that, he has to either return the gzela, the actual stolen item, oh, dameha, right? Or it's monetary, or money. That's the replacement below subim. And not, right, something that's of lesser, you know, equivalent value. I mean, asher gazal means literally, return that which you stole. Now, the Torah gives you a dispensation that if the item's not there anymore, I got destroyed, that you can replace it with money. But that's the only thing you can replace it with. Not with other items, like shavei kesef, but only with the monetary value. And because of that, right, when we say, when we talk about the ganav and the gazlan assessing the value, they're assessing their value at the time of the time that the ganav or gazlan was done is not really relevant over here. That's at least what those are the tagline. Exactly. So over here too, by ganav and gazlan, right, you have to return the item and either return the actual physical item or give the money, meaning real money, and then all the pchad. Say for instance, it broke. The item broke. And now you have to return it, right? You can't give him back the broken shards and just give him more money. Now you have to hand him a new pot, or a money equivalent, and he keeps the shards. That's the difference between Geneva and Gazela versus Nizakin. Now the Gemara is going to investigate this issue of Shoel. So Yibayluhu, Hakikamar, Apla Shoel, Shem'in, right? Also for Shoel that we assess it like the Nizak, Vaba Modili, and Rabba Gritzmi, Odilma, Hakikamar, Vani Omer, Apla Shoel, Ein Shem'in, Shoel is like a ganam and a gazlan, and we're not assessing it. Rabba Modili and Rabba agrees to me. Tashma, Dao Gabra, the Shal Narga Mechavre, right? The person borrowed an axe from his friend, Tabra, and it broke, or he broke it. Adela Kameh Rab, came before Rabba Mel, Zil Shleim Lein, Narga Mealia. Go pay him back, right? A full new axe. Shramino, ain't shaman, so it's pretty clear here that can't hand him a broken axe and say, here's the rest of your money on top of the axe. You have to hand him a brand new axe, and he keeps the broken axe. So Gemara says, Rav Kahana, Rav Asi, the Rav. Wait, after he passed in this din, Rav Kahana, Rav Asi said to Rav, Dina Hachi, is the din really this way? Are you really right, Rav? Vishotik. And Rav was silent. Rav didn't respond. Sounds like Rav is acquiescing to their challenge. That means that you wouldn't be shaman. Means that he did wrong. Right? That he should have been. Right? He should have done a shuma. He should have treated him like Nizakim. Shmamina, Shamin, that you could do an assessment and it would be equivalent to Nezek and not like Ganam and Gazlan. So Idmar, Amaru, you make a difference here. It's clear, but that here that the Gemara thinks that Shtika was Kehodada, I mean that he should have explained this Psak and he didn't explain it Psak. But I do agree that there are other places where we see Shtika not treated in this manner, where we see Shtika meaning a dismissal. It's so, I'm not even paying attention to what you say, and that's why he was shatik. Right? So now, Itvar, Amar Ulam Alazar, Shamin Laganav Lagazlan. We do assess the Ganav Lagazlan against what we said by Shmuel. Rabbi Amar, Ain Shamin, that is like what Shmuel says. Vehilpa says, Allah is Ain Shamin Lulaganav, Lulagazlan. Right? And Avadu Shoel Shamin. The Allah is not to the Ganav, not for the Gazlan like Shmuel says. But the Shoel, we are Shamin, to the Rav Kahana of Ravasi. Like the challenge of Rav Kahana of Ravasi on Rav. And therefore we do pass the Shoel, we're Shamin the Shoel, just like any other Nezek or Nizak. Amar Ula, Amar Rav Elazar. Now we're going through a sequence of statements by Amar Ula, Amar Rav Elazar. Not necessarily connected to our Gemara, but a number of their statements. Shaliya Shiyatza Miksatza B'yom Rishon, Miksatza B'yom Sheni. So if you have a fetal sac that comes out, partly on one day and partly on another day. Moni lamina rishon. You start counting the yemei tum'ah from the first day. Meaning that the assumption here of the Gemara is that you can't have a shalya b'livlad. Right? Shalya b'livlad means that you can't have a fetal sac, right, that is discharged by a woman that doesn't also have some sort of vlad inside of it. But it has a vlad that's considered to be a birth. A birth, right, then makes a woman tum'ah, right, either for 7 days if it's a zakar, 14 days if it's a Nikeva. So, when do you start counting the Yemei Tumah from? So over here, right, the suggestion of Ulam Ra'az is we start counting from the first day. And that's a Chumrah. Why? Because anything she touched then on that first day is now considered Tameh. So, right. The Chumrah. You guys are trying to be Machmir and to make the Tumah from the first day. Chumrah Da'at Ibn Day Kula. Right, this is a Chumrah that's going to end up being a Kula in the end. Why? Because her Tameh count is going to end, right, on the what would be the 13th day, right? Instead of the 14th day, she started a day earlier. Amar Rava, exactly what Shaul just suggested. Lachush Choshesheth, or Choshesh, that she's Tameh on the first day. Mimanya Elolisheni. We don't start count from the second day. So you have a Chomer on the both sides. For Choshesh, that she was Tameh on the first day, so that she's Tameh on other things. And we also have Choshesh on the second side, that the count only starts on the second day, and therefore she'll have to count as if it started on the second day. It says, Michael Mashman. To be machmir, you don't have to tell me anything. It's always easy to be machmir for both tzadim. Says the aim, mitzvah shalya below vlad. That is actually that's exactly what it teaches us, that there is no mitzvah shalya below vlad, and since there is no mitzvah shalya below vlad, we have to be choshish over here, that there was sort of birth here. Why? Because until the robe of the baby is out, she's not tmeah. But what do we have here? If you could say that there was mitzvah shalya below vlad, then you have a possibility that it would be a fake tzveka. Because on the first day, meaning that if she gave birth on the first day instead of the second day, then first of all, we have a safek, whether when we get to the seventh day or the eighth day, really, right, whether or the 14th day or the 15th day, whether she's really tameh or not. So that would be one safek, meaning that should we start accounting from the first day, should we start accounting for the second day? And number two, right, we have another safek, which is whether it was a... Right, well, whether it's a vlad altogether, or was there even a zakar and a keva? You're ending up with a ton of fekot. The fetal sac comes out, there is a vlad there, there's only one safek now. What's the safek? The safek is whether it was a robe or not a robe. Whereas if you say there is such things as mixed with shalya below vlad, you've entered another safek, which is a possibility that fetal sac came out, there is no vlad at all. Then, even if there is a vlad, maybe it wasn't robe of vlad. So if you enter that second safek, already you're entering into it. Sveika. Right. Anyway, we discussed here that there were two sveikos. Right. There's one sveik, whether a shalya, a portion of a sac, can come out with the blood or not of blood. And there'll be a second sveik, which is that even if it came out, is it a robe? So if I say that mixed with shalya, if you come out without a blood, I have a sveika. If I say that whenever there's a fetal sac, there for sure is a blood there, then we only have one sveik. Is when did the robe blood come out or not? There happens to be an additional sveik here, which is whether it's a zakar or a nekeva. Right? If it's a zakar, you only need 7 days of tumah. If it's a nekeva, it's 14 days of tumah. So Tosfos says over here, why that is not a good sveik over here. That's not a good sveik because, right, on day one it's the same, but on day 8 it will be different. And also maybe on day 14, it's really a sveik because even if you say it was a nekeva, maybe it was the first day. Right? Maybe it was in it, right? Or if it was, even if it was a, not, it was on the second day, maybe it was a zakar. So now, so says you can't use that sveik of zakar and nekeva, because it'll end up being a, what's called a sveik of the satre. It'll be a sveik that creates an internal stira. Why is that? Because now here you're going to be, because over here you're going to say that if it's a zakar, then it's a fake Sveika, and I'm going to be matir here on the 14th day because it's fake Sveika. Then I come to, it's the 15th day if you count from day 2, it's the 14th day if you count from day 1. So, right, so now you come and say at the end of her 41st day, now what are you going to say? It's also a fake Sveika, right? Did she have a suffix whether she had a Zachar or Nekeva? And number 2 is a Sveika whether she ever had, right, the Rove Lads came out or not, came out on the 41st day. So we have a fake Sveika, but there, the fake Sveika is on the side of the Nekeva. Why is it Nekeva? Because on the 41st day, look, if it was a real Vlad, maybe it was Nekeva, and she's still Tahora, right? Because she has 66 days to be a Dabra Tahora afterwards. Or, if it was a Zachar, maybe it was born on the first day, not the second day, it's Tahor. Now you're going to do a fake Sveika, Mimati, or Misad, Nekeva. Over here, you're going to be trying to make a Meiko here and say fake Sveika because it's sad to say Zachar. He says that's a Sira in the Oved, you can't do that. You can't have a fake Sveika where on one side it's going to be a fake Sveika that goes to one side, and then the fake Sveika to the other side and be Meiko on both ends. So because of that, we don't enter the fake Sveika of Zachar Nekeva here, and the only thing that's relevant is, right, whether Shalya has a blood in it, and number 2, whether you have rope. And so either it's one stuff fake if we say it always comes out with blood, or it's 2 fake if we say that the possibility comes out without a blood. Alright, Tanina. Alright, so we already have, what's the big chap here in Ulam or Blazer? We already had a brace that says this. Shal shiyatza miktata, asura b'achila, right? That you can't eat it, that it comes out. Can't eat it mean that if you shech this animal, right, then anything that's found outside the animal is not considered to be part of the animal. Therefore, the yachar makes the side that it's out. I mean that even the stuff that's left inside you can't eat. Right? So because, why is this? Because siman v'abisha, siman v'abimeima. Right? That a shalya, the sack, is a indication of birth, both in animals and in women. Or women and then in animals. So it says, even matnisa, if I just looked at the bright avamino, that truthfully it would be the yesh miksas shalya below vlad. Truth is that you could have a birth, you could have a sack come out, even without a vlad in it. V'zeira miksasa at the kulo. And the gzera here is that we're worried about part of it coming out, right, and not the whole coming out. So what's that? What does that mean? That if I said when only a portion of it came out, that it's not considered as if it was birth, right, that the birth came out, then I'm going to also say when the entire thing comes out, right, as if it didn't give birth. So it says, what type of gzera is that, right? I mean that, of course, when the whole thing comes out, it's a surah, because it's not inside of her. The only chash is that if it's still partly inside of her, that you can be matir that which is left inside of her. So Tosfos reads this Zera the other way around, which is after Ruba Kamina. Do we write Miksa, not Yesh Miksa Shaya Bulavak, Zera Miksasa Ata Kulavak, Miksasa Ata Ruba. Right? And we're Gozer here on a Miksas Kamina where the robe is still inside, right? Up to when the robe has come out and there's still a Miksas on the inside. That's the problem. If only a portion of the sack had come out, and the robe of the fetus was still inside the behemah, when you shech the behemah, that which is inside, it's kasher, you can eat it, like it was shech in the animal. But the other way around, if the robe of the fetus was discharged, then whatever's left inside is a surah, right, even if the mother is shechted, because the robe went outside. So that is what the gzera here is. Gzera miksasa, ata kula, does not mean kula, but at the ruva. What we're worried about is that if we allow a person, when a miksas comes out, to eat that which is left inside, which is the robe, then they might come to think the same thing when robe comes out, and it's still miksas left out. The thing, whatever's left inside is always good. But everybody knows, when the whole thing's outside, there's nothing to talk about. That's the way it's supposed to explain why this applies only by behemah, not by anisha, both Tosfos and Rashi. I don't think it's worth getting into here, but that it may not be applicable. This zera might not be applicable by anisha, and therefore that's why we need the statement of Amar Ozer, Amar Ula. Right, so Amar Ula, Amar Ulazer, b'chor shim nitra ketok lamejom, a b'chor that is killed within the first 30 days, ain't podinoto, we do not redeem it. So why does it be killed? What I mean he dies? As Rashi, everybody agrees, Rashi says that, when if he dies by himself, there's nothing to talk about. Because the Pasuk says the Yavim Ben Kodesh Tifteh, right, that you have to redeem him after 30 days, and he's not around to be redeemed after 30 days. Well, you say to me the same thing about when he's killed. When he's killed, there's also not around. But why do we wait 30 days? We wait 30 days to prove that he's a Bar Kayama. So if he dies before 30 days, that's clear that he's not a Bar Kayama. But if he's killed before 30 days, he might have been a Bar Kayama. He was just cut short. His life was cut short. He was killed. Right, so why don't we say that maybe you should be Podim over here? The question is, the Yom in Podimato. Chen Tani Rami Barcham, the Tok Shnemar, Podot Zivdeh, Yachol Atilu Nitzrach, the Tok Lamin Yom, Termalomar, Ach, Chilek. There's an exception, and the exception is when he's killed, right, we don't even think about whether he's a Bar Kayama or not, he doesn't pay. Amar Omar.
What would the purpose of being Podim when he's not alive? What
I mean, that there might be an obligation to be pulled to an individual from the day he's born. Really, there's an obligation from the day they're born to be, so you were obligated already to redeem them. Right? Once you're obligated to redeem them, you have to do it even post-mortem. He's going to have to do the bdiyah. The only question is, we wait 30 days to assure that when he's born, it was really a child that was born and not a natal that was born. So over here, he's already obligated. Just a question that he didn't get to the threshold where we know for certain that he's a bar kayang. Right? Animals that are large animals can be have their kinyan done by mishicha. They have to be done by pulling them, right? They have to actually move them. We have a Mishnah, an explicit Mishnah in Kiddushin that says that you just have to hand the reins over, and that's enough of a kinyan. He agrees with this other Tana, the Tanya. That both behemoth daka and a behemoth gasa, light animals and heavy animals, can their kinyan is through b'shicha through pulling. Where b'shimon omer zubizub atba, they both have to be lifted up. And now we discuss in the Gemara Kedushin how do you lift up the elephant, right? You have to move them onto stands, onto chavilis and muros. You have to do it in a way that elevates the animal somehow. When the children divide up the estate, we assess the value of the clothing that's on them that belongs to the estate. That which their kids are wearing, the grandkids are wearing, we do not assess their value. Rashi points out because it's generally not natural for children to show up to Beis Din. We're not going to drag all the grandchildren into Beis Din just to assess what they're wearing. There's a case where even what they're wearing, one of the children is wearing, we do not assess the value. Why? That when the oldest child is wearing clothing from the estate, but sometimes we do not assess the value of that clothing as being a part of the estate. Why? Because when he wears the clothing, it makes him more important, or that people will listen to him. And since this oldest child is now transacting or acting on behalf of the estate, it's in the best interest of all the children that he wears something nice. So therefore, it's really, right, they all want him to have this coat or have this piece of the estate because it enhances the value of the entire estate for them. Right? Shomer shemata the shomer patur. Right? A shomer that gives over to another shomer his item to watch, he is patur. The lomi bay, of course not shomer chinam shemata the shomer sachar. Why not? When a shomer chinam then gives it to a shomer sachar, why is that? Because he's elevated the level of shmirah. Da'guy alei al shmirato. He makes it a higher level of shmirah. Not because a shomer sachar is chayav more than a shomer chinam, but because he's chayav more, he makes more effort. He spends more effort to watch it because he's chayav in the name and zela. Therefore, you've elevated the level of shmirah. Ela afilu shomer sachar shemata the shomer chinam. The shomer sachar that degrades it. Actually, the garua grave the shmirato nami patur. He's also patur. Why? Shrei muscle the bendat. He gave it over to a right thinking. Normal person, and if he does that, that's considered to be a shmirah. Now, if a shomer sachar gives it to a shomer chinam, that doesn't mean now he's puster from gnei malan aveda. I mean, he'll be obligated in all the items that he is took on responsibility for. It's just that the owner can't claim that he's posheya, that he's negligent by giving it over to a shomer chinam. That's the position of Amar Ulam Rav Lozer. Rav Amar shomer shemas to shomer chayav. No, the other way around. A shomer that gives it to another shomer is chayav. Certainly, Rabbi's statement is not only true when he degrades the level of Shemirah, he went from a Shomer Sachar to a Shomer Chinam again. Not because a Shomer Chinam is putter in more things, but because a Shomer Chinam is putter in more things, he expends less effort in watching the item. Even if he elevates the level of Shemirah, he is Chayav. Why? Very simple, right? I believe your shvua, and that if someone has to take a shvua that it was ba'onet, right? I'm going to take your shvua, I'm not going to take the shvua of the other individual. Therefore, Tosfos says over here, wait, what happens if the second guy is more neman than the first guy? What happens if the first guy is questionable nemanus, and the second guy has clear nemanus, he's some person that has high standing, high stature that has clear nemanus? Maybe, according to this, you should be patur, because you've elevated the level of nemanus.
You're saying that it was a decision for me to make,
right. I think you could say that. Tosfos says, well, in Bava Metzia, the Gemara gives another answer, which is, I think, what you're suggesting, somewhat along the lines of what Shaul says, it says that, the aim was ni, shei piktoni bi adachem. Right. I want my stuff to be with you. It doesn't matter who's believable, who's more believable. This is my personal choice. When I make a personal choice, I don't want you changing my personal choice, no matter how more enamored the other individual is. And I think that's along the lines of what Shaul is suggesting over here. Next statement, Amar Ulam Rav Elazar, Hilchasa Govim Min HaVadim, that a Baal Chos can come and claim or take his payment collateral through it's a slave. Amalei Rav Nachman Ula Amar Rav Elazar Afil Miatme. Right, meaning that when you say you can go collect from the slave, right, is that even from Yisomim? I mean, where is he making a statement that the Baal Kol can come and make a claim and take money for the slave? He says, well, Mine. So he says, no, from the original debtor. So he says, Mine, Afil Miglima Akate. What do you mean? Take from his slave? You can take his coat up, you know what I mean? Coat up his back, not literally his coat, if he had two coats. And if he's leaving him with one coat, if he had two coats, you could take a coat. Meaning, what do you have to come and teach me that a vadim can be taken? Where it says, Akamai Skin Shatoa Putuku, and then he made him into a, what's called like a specialized or directed collateral. That the slave is a directed collateral towards this loan. Kid the Rabba, like the principle of Rabba. Dama Rabba, Hasav Doa Putuki, Umakro, Bakov Gogo Emenu. If he makes his evidence of this directed collateral, and then sells it, the Bakov, the creditor, can go and take it away from the buyer. Alright? On the other hand, Shoro Aputuki, if he makes his shore into directed collateral, right, umakro, and then he sells it to a buyer. Ain bakov go by man. The bakov, the creditor, now can't go make it, take it away from the buyer. Or it says my time up. What's the difference between him? Hadith leikala, hadalet leikala. It's the difference between whether such an item, such a responsibility can be placed on the buyer to check if it's free and clear. When it comes to avadim, right, when it comes to karka, we say it lakala. Those types of things are known, or well known, that they were either collateralized, that there were liens placed on these types of items. And therefore, the obligation of the responsibility is on the buyer to check that it's free and clear. By calculating in general, like, sure, you can't say that every part of the guy's got to know every item in the guy's house, he's got to know whether he has a lien on it or not. That's just not, well, it's not possible, but it's also something that just doesn't happen. There's no, right, it's not a well-known thing in the circuit, and therefore, you can't make the buyer responsible to know that there was a lien on such a item. Okay, we'll stop over here.